welcome to the FitFluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join hosts Kevin Cottrell and Kelly Alexa as they interview thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and declutter complex health and wellness topics. The goal in each episode is to provide you with actionable tips and information in order to apply them in your everyday lifestyle.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to FitFluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Alexa, and today I have the privilege of sharing a fantastic interview with a dear friend of mine, Leslie Bradshaw. Leslie is somebody that I met actually on Twitter, as many guests on the show. That's been our background. We met on Twitter back in 2008, and we continue to stay both business friends and personal friends via social media, long distance, close distance, whatever. She has been instrumental in having such a great impact and influence in my life. In fact, she was one of the two folks I mentioned in this interview that specifically spurred me on to found FitFluential in the first place. So I owe her a debt of gratitude. Just to give you a brief insight into her background, because she does have, as such a young woman, she has an extraordinary background. Here's a little bit from her bio. Leslie is a battle-tested innovator, operator, leader, and growth driver. As managing partner of Made by Many's New York office, she has been responsible for growing their U.S. client base, which now includes Nike, Colgate, the NFL, and has a select list of funded startups on the East Coast. At the start of her career, Leslie amassed experiences in crisis communications, business intelligence, digital marketing, IP law, media relations, and a TV production before co-founding creative agency Just Three in 2006. Under her leadership, Just Three was twice named to the Inc. 500 and awarded Small Agency of the Year by Ad Age in the Southeast region. Honored as one of Fast Company's most creative people in business for making data science cool back in 2013, and one of their most influential female executives in technology, that was in 2011, Leslie is most proud of co-founding and continuing to support her family's Willamette, I hope I'm saying that correctly, Willamette Valley-based Pinot Noir Vineyard, Bradshaw Vineyards. A Phi Beta Kappa graduate of the University of Chicago, go Chicago, even though I don't live there anymore, Leslie is passionate about fitness, teamwork, sleep, her faith, professional experience, and taking care of her family. Excited for you guys to tune in and listen. I think, especially on the female side, so many of you are going to be inspired by the strength and passion of this woman, but both men and women are going to be able to relate to somebody who has taken a busy, crazed, entrepreneurial lifestyle and managed to make sense out of it. And you'll just hear the difference in her before and after. Enjoy the interview. Everybody, and welcome to FitFluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Alexa, and I have on the line with me a dear friend, somebody I met through work, but who has been such an inspiration to me, both on a professional level and a personal level, and certainly now most recently on a fitness and health level. And I'm excited to interview Leslie Bradshaw today. Leslie, welcome to the show.
So great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to talk as well.
And it was fun getting past all of these kinks we had. We had some serious technology issues, but Leslie was a trooper. So Leslie, thanks for staying with me. Let's start off. You know, I alluded to and I talked about you in the intro, how you and I met at an agency. How many years ago was that? Was that 10 years ago, 8 years ago?
I think it was probably in 2008, 2009. Were you around there for the 08 election or right after that?
You know, I think it was 2009, because okay. 2008 is when I just got on Twitter and then I lost my job
right.
in the crash. And you and I were already friends on Twitter, and then we ended
right.
up working at the same agency. So yeah, it was 2009 and 7 years ago. Lucky seven.
Amazing. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm digressing, and people that are listening are like, Kelly, tie this one down for us. Anyway, Leslie and I started working together at this agency, and it's interesting how we both had a health journey the past, I guess this is, we're looking at 7 years or so. And I'd love for you to give everybody that's listening, you know, they've learned about you in your bio that's on Fit Fluential Radio. They've heard me gush about you in the beginning, but put in context what your business and your work history really has been, because that's a big part of what started this transformation for you most recently in paying attention to your health. What was your work life like in the recent past?
Interesting thing about my work life is that I started my own company when you and I were both at that agency. So I would go home at 6 o'clock, I would eat some dinner, I would take a shower, and I'd start my second work day. And wow. I've had so much appreciation for anybody who's working two jobs, because I learn right away that everything, you start borrowing time from any basic task, whether it's sleep, exercise, like where can you beg, borrow, and steal some more time when you're starting your own business on the side? And the very first thing to go out the door were any sort of health related investments that I made. And I'd been an athlete all through high school. I almost played softball in college, longtime weight trainer. I've done a full marathon. I've done all sorts of just physical athletic things in my life. And that took a big backseat when I started my own company. I remember in December 2007, I said, you know what, I'm going to take December off and then I'll pick it back up in the new year. Girl, it was 6 years later that I picked it back up. I set it up on that shelf and I brought it back off the shelf maybe once or twice in like a hotel workout situation. Like, oh, I should work out. But I did not reinvest in that for a very long time. So when I built my own business on the side, I had to find time in order to do that. And it was my health that was laid at the altar of sacrifice there.
And the reason that, you know, this is going to be a topic that we're going to cover on Fit Fluential Radio regularly. And I'm using the term, which people might think of something else when they hear the term corporate wellness or the phrase corporate wellness, but that's what I'm going to use on the show, because I'm so passionate about people like Leslie and myself and others that, you know, whatever your job is, if you founded your own company, if you're part of a startup, if you work for, I'm using air quotes, the man, right? Whatever it is, there is this situation in America where it's the glorification of busy, if you want to call it that, or just this hustle lifestyle that people think it's cool to like run yourself in the ground. And it's almost expected that you get a badge of honor the more that you work, the more that you work weekends, the more that you say you're busy, the more that you're multitasking. And inevitably what happens is not only is it not cool, it's not sustainable, and it's really creating serious health problems. So this is why I want Leslie to share so much of, and I share this, I use myself as an example, I'm a work in progress, about what our lifestyles were like, and then you're going to hear how it's different and how she's, you know, changed and incorporated a health focus and the benefits of that. Because so many people, I don't know if you'd agree, Leslie, that are in that crazy work environment, any of the above, you know, areas that I mentioned, they think there's no way that they can get off that treadmill that is nonstop. They think they can't eat healthier. They think they can't fit in fitness. They think they can't do it because they're so busy. Is that something you hear a lot?
So I want to break that corporate wellness into two distinct camps. There's the camp where there is the real life situation where your time is fully committed. And that I want to talk about, because that was my situation. It wasn't like I was in the cult of busy. I was just busy. I had a full-time job and I was also the president of my own agency on the side. And so in that instance, it wasn't so much that I was trying to flex or show off or be cool. It was just sheer, you know, willpower and, you know, one woman, many hats that I had to be that way. And then there's the second camp of the wellness that I want to break it into, which is that cult of busy. So I think when we have that distinction, I've talked a lot about how I've gotten my health back and I feel great. And I'll kind of give advice about sleeping and working out. And I had a gal about 10 years, my junior, raise her hand and say, well, that's all fine and good. But if we all backed off, we wouldn't get where you are today. Would you agree with that? And I feel the same way when I hear Arianna Huffington about her message about thrive and sleeping. I think those are wonderful messages and they're definitely truth in them. But let's all be honest. The way that Arianna Huffington got where she is isn't by working out and sleeping a ton. It is about making some of those sacrifices. So if people do have that ambition level to either start their own company and or have a very successful upwardly mobile career in a corporate environment, they are going to have to work really, really hard. So I don't want to make it sound like it's just one step away. All you need to do is, you know, kind of schedule a little extra time for yourself and, you know, prioritize health. You know, it's not that easy, because if you do want to be at the top of your game, you're going to have to hustle, because there are other people out there ready to out hustle you. So that's just a distinction.
And you know what? I'm super glad that you brought that up, because what I want to do with Fitfluential Radio is, you know, this is the no BS show. This is like, we're telling it like it is. We're getting people to become their own health advocates, but it's also like real talk. Like that's exactly what I don't want anyone coming on the show to do, is go, oh, it's so amazing. Like if you have a baby on Thursday, you should be back in your old jeans, your size 2 jeans by Monday. It's no problem. I just do this thing and I saw it on Pinterest and you look 10 pounds that, you know, no, it doesn't work that way. And just what you're saying on the work side, you know, if you want success, if you want this, there are trade-offs. It's always going to be, I think, for everybody, a work in progress. I know for myself, one of the things, Kevin Cottrell, who's our podcast co-host, he's also my, I'm going to just say, business coach, life coach, health coach, you name it. And one of the things he works with me on, he's so amazing at this, is helping me get what I need to do today down into the most important things, just like that book, The One Thing, right? What are the most important things? Because my day is always going to have a billion things that I don't finish. But that is something I think is, it's always going to be a work in progress, because like you said, getting ahead and doing the things that you want to do, it's never going to be as simple as 1, 2, 3. That's where you start. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I wouldn't want ever to come across on this show interviewing anybody, making it seem like it's simple. It is focus. It is determination. It is effort. So good on you for bringing that up. Yeah. What would you say, and Leslie, when you were working at the agency where you and I worked together, and then you had your own agency, you know, what was like a typical show? Tell us a typical day for you. Like, what was a typical day as far as eating, sleeping, the amount of work you did, the level of stress, how you felt on a day-to-day basis?
I remember the hardest thing to do was just get out of bed in the morning, because chances were the night before I was going to bed, if at all, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. I remember distinctly at least once a month never going to bed. Like I would just keep going straight. I never did coffee in my early career. I did a lot of sugar-free Red Bull. That was like my main go-to jumpstart. My heart would kind of palpitate a little bit, and it was a little nervous because of the color, but I just went through cases of that stuff. And so I would rally, and I would say towards the, you know, as things really ramped with my own company, I would take a cab every morning, because the cab allowed me to do a couple of things. I would put my makeup on. I would take a phone call and or check my email. I would put also like my hair sometimes, like Ace Ventura, I'd stick my head out the window and like air dry my hair a little bit, so I didn't look like I just got out of the shower, even though I'd gotten out of the shower 12 minutes prior. And this is all pre-Uber, so I didn't have any kind of Uber, and I'd always had to call the cab, and sometimes they'd come and sometimes they wouldn't. And then I would roll in, and I would be anywhere between like 7 to 32 minutes later than anyone else. And I would always get looks like, who does she think she is? She's coming in later. And while I was there, my head was in the game, and I did some great work, brought in business, helped expand service lines, did a lot of the PR and marketing for the agency that you and I both worked at. So in my mind, I was like, hey man, I'm a top performer. You can, you know, look at the scoreboard and then talk to me about what time I get in. But I always felt a little uncomfortable. So the first couple minutes I would just kind of sit there, and I'd, you know, maybe my makeup was all the way on, maybe it wasn't. I would put my high heels on. Like it was just, you know, I had a small village living under my desk between my shoes and my bags. And
I remember that.
Yeah. Right. And I would just spend the rest of the day just working away on the projects I had assigned. I think at my maximum, I had 15 clients that I had either project management and or account management responsibilities, and that sometimes also included writing and pitching for blog coverage. So it was an all-out kind of day, and you know, things would kind of wind down around 6 o'clock, and sometimes I'd stay later and I'd have to work on a project, but like I said, I'd go home and I'd rally. I'd kind of treat it like second breakfast, where you would shower and eat and like your body would kind of be rebooted. And then I would start my second day. And all the while, like, I can't even remember what I ate. I ate some like lean pockets, I think, or something that I always had. I always thought the lean ones were better than the other ones, but they're both kind of awful for you. I remember doing like the food truck out front, like whatever was easy was my solution. Never cooked for myself, never did meal prep, always on the go, tried to make a smart choice, because my whole life I've, you know, like many women, have battled with my weight. And as an athlete, as long as I'm working out a lot, I'm fine. But when my workout drops, my appetite stays the same and the pounds pack on. And over the course of, you know, the 3 years that I was at the agency, I was also building mine and finally left in beginning of 2010. And you'd think, oh gosh, you have all this free time now because you only have one job. But if anything, that just allowed me to take the company at that point from $500,000 a year in revenue to $2.1 million a year in revenue. And I was the only project manager and account manager running all of these creatives. So there was really, you know, I went from having 15 clients to 30. And just keeping up with the sheer volume of communications and trying to keep my eye on the ball when it came to managing things, you know, I was still pulling all-nighters. I was probably pulling more all-nighters with one job than I was with two. So, and that is when the food got really bad, because food all of a sudden became a reward. It became this thing like, oh, I haven't eaten all day. I totally forgot to eat. And now it's 5 o'clock and I think I could eat an entire herd of cattle right now. And my former business partner and boyfriend at the time, he would get out the menu. I remember this. We'd either do like a Pizza Hut. We would do P.F. Chang's all the time. And we would order one of everything on the menu. And it was so gluttonous. It was so gluttonous. And it would all kind of arrive, whether it was be delivered or we'd go pick it up, and we would just lay it out. And it was like a banquet for a family of 15. And it was just the two of us. And we wouldn't finish it all, but we would have enough that it was, you would just gorge yourself. Then you feel kind of gross and tired. And I remember sitting and doing work one day, and I had my feet up and I hadn't moved for 8 hours. My feet were tingling. I was like, what's going on? It's like, oh, I haven't moved. I haven't gotten fresh air. I mean, there's probably days on end where I didn't even leave the apartment studio that we'd worked out of. So it went from bad to worse. Once I left that job, at least that job propelled me forward to put pants on and go into an office with other humans.
I can witness too that, you know, and this is to compliment you, but you know, even though you're younger than me, I've always looked up to you. And I know that for everybody listening, this is the truth. I still remember, I'm not quite sure what the event was, but we were out at a conference in Vegas. I don't know if you remember this, Leslie, but
we had sushi.
Yeah, at Ekaterina, and you both sat me down, and I was, you know, frustrated at my job, and they were these two women were the first women that looked at me and said, you know, like I think I had the idea of Fitfluential in my head, but I never saw myself as capable of doing anything. I was so mired in self-doubt. And the two of you, I think you almost cornered me. You're like, girl, you've got this. And I remember just looking up to you, because every time I would see you at a conference, you'd go, I just got off a call with Tokyo and I'm going over here, and then I'm flying to Japan tomorrow and I'm going over here, and then I've got this, and I can't, Kelly, I can't talk because I've got this. And I'd see your schedule. And I'm like, how does she do it? And I witnessed that you were, I mean, to me, you always seemed like you were totally like just owning it. You were on your game. You're so intelligent. You're so well-spoken. You're so influential in business. And it's amazing to me, because when I read the chapter you wrote in that one book, and forgive me, I don't remember the title.
10 Habits of Highly Successful Women.
Okay. Yeah. So everybody, we'll link that up in the show, 10 Habits of Highly Successful Women. There's a chapter from Leslie in there, but I remember, you know, hearing about your lifestyle in there. And then when you had this aha moment of, okay, wait a second. And if you don't mind, I'd love for you to go into that, because clearly we're hearing about how your life was, and people are probably going, okay, wait, bring this story around. So what was the aha moment when you started to go, okay, this is not sustainable?
So a couple of things about an aha moment. As much as we'd like to think that that's just this bolt of lightning that hits us, it's really just a sequence of things that start to wear on you. And It's the classic case of the frog in the boiling water will jump out. But over time, if you turn the water heat up, the frog will boil to death. And I was really that second frog, right? Like I was starting to almost boil to death. And looking back, I had plenty of warning signs. I went from wearing pants that had buttons to just wearing yoga pants, right? Like I started really, not liking any photos that I was being taken, not just because of just the pure vanity piece, but I looked at myself and like my skin looked bad, my hair looked bad. Like I was just not looking after myself. So there were these mirrors being held up around me. And then I had friends and family members say things to me, not just about my weight, but also just about my health. And that was even a bigger concern, as my sister said to me, I think you're going to get cancer. You're so stressed out all the time. And I read all these things about people with stress and cancer. So really the signs were all around me. It just took the straw that broke that camel's back, right? And I think in that chapter, which I called it, it's never too late to change everything, which I firmly believe. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there on my way to a South by Southwest installation activation that our team was doing, and it wasn't set up to be successful, and the hardware wasn't working, and our team was working overtime and exhausted, and my business partner was yelling, and the client was texting, and it was just awful. And my luggage was lost, and it was raining. And I just said, okay, I'm done. Like, I'm going to be 30 soon, and this is not the life I want. And I have so many amazing abilities, talents, networks to get me out of here. And I know that that's a position of privilege to be in, and I'm not even tapping into that. I'm sitting here on my back foot. I'm on defense, and I need to go on offense. Mm-hmm. And simultaneously, and this is kind of the lesser known story I'm happy to share with your friends, but I'd been working with an outside consultant for over a year at that point to do kind of optimizing the business and trying to see if I changed this, would I like it better? If I changed that, would I like it better? And it had a lot to do with the differing of management styles from my business partner and also boyfriend, which, you know, that in of itself could be a whole podcast. But in the meantime, what I wanted to kind of underscore here, though, is I kept trying to rearrange the chairs on the decks of the Titanic. Like there was nothing I could do to change him. And there was nothing I could do to change my circumstance other than, and this is what my consultant said to me. She said, the biggest and best power you have, Leslie, is your feet. You can get up and you can walk and you can get another job and you can start over and it's going to be okay. And I think turning 30 was the real like kick in the pants where all of a sudden I need to really look at my life as someone who might want to have a family and be married and have kids, and not with this guy, not with the way he treats me, and not in this lifestyle, and not looking and feeling the way I do right now. And that was a big kind of turning point. So kind of turning 30, that South by Southwest kind of coalescence of all the drama, I was like, this is not the life I am meant to be leading, and I need to get out, and I need to make some steps to do that.
And, you know, you just brought up another good point when you said it's not always an aha moment, because I know for me, I've had several. I've had so much personal growth and health growth, and I can point to so many over the past 6-7 years. But in particular, you know, this year has been really remarkable. And one of the things you spoke to is, you know, having people around you that will say something to you. You mentioned a friend that said, you've got your feet and you can walk. And it was actually, incidentally, I just interviewed Kelly Gregorakis, my dear friend and a business associate down in Miami. And it was her in my life that said that to me. And it was actually about leaving the agency that you and I both worked at, because I felt trapped. And she was the first person that said something so simple to me that was like, you know what? You're not trapped. You're not trapped in your mortgage. You're not trapped at your job. You have choices. You just don't think that you do. And even though that was one moment that got me thinking and viewing things differently and viewing what I could do and could not do, I'm still having some. You know, I had another huge aha awakening last October when I realized, like, wait a minute, I don't like living in Chicago. And I went, I'm 47 years old. I can move wherever I want to. And now I'm in Austin, you know? And so it's good to have people around you. I think that's a big part of just life, not necessarily health, but people that will actually say to you, and you've always been that for me, Leslie, you know, we don't talk it live as much, but you're not the girl or the woman that would tell me what I want to hear. you would tell it like it is. And those are the types of people you need to surround yourself with. So that's a slight segue into a question I hadn't planned to ask, but it's something we talk about a lot on the show. Do you think as you started transitioning into a healthier lifestyle, but I'm also going to say this could be true just for life and in business, that it's really, do you agree it's really important to surround yourself with, you know, a key tribe, people that are not going to just tell you what you want to hear, people that are going to push you and challenge you and keep you accountable?
Yes, is a simple answer. The longer answer, I would say kind of a couple mantras I have. I want to seek truth and I want to speak truth. And I want to make it very inexpensive to tell me the truth. Because it's expensive to tell the truth when you make faces or when you're uncomfortable or you get defensive. People are like, you know what? It's too much work to tell Leslie the truth. I'm not going to do it. Where instead you want to create an environment where you're welcoming the truth. And, you know, I don't live with regrets. And I know that I had to go through those kind of hot fires of hell to get to where I am now. But when I look back, there were people in my life trying to speak truth into my life about the partner I had chosen, the lifestyle I was living. And I found ways to deflect it, not listen to it, not act on it ultimately. And now we have a saying in my household with my mom and my sister and my dad, and we all say, see something, say something, do something. Because they had a lot of concerns that they only voiced, you know, 10% of them because they didn't want to alienate me or upset me. And I just said, I'm sorry if I've ever created an environment where truth was too expensive to tell me. And I've carried that over in business with my employees. I've carried that over into my personal relationships with people. And, you know, that's part one is the truth seeking part and speaking part. The second part of that is your tribe. And my spirit animal, as you know, is the turtle. And I look for, you know, other turtles. And, you know, a turtle to me is someone who is tough and durable, who will go the extra mile, who will protect others under their shell and will swim, you know, strong and fast. And there's people I've worked with in my life that I met at my first job. Chris Olson comes to mind. We were both paralegal assistants back in 2005. He was one of the first people I hired when I could at Just Three. And he and I just caught up for lunch just 2 days ago. And it was so great to see him thriving and doing his thing. And, you know, he's someone I would hire again or hope to work with again. And those are your turtles. And it's kind of like a dog whistle. You know, can someone, when you speak and when you get excited and when you share and contribute, who hears you? Because some people won't. Some people will not hear you, not because they're bad people. It's just, you know, it's a different frequency. They're not your turtles, and that's okay. So I've just really worked to kind of have some key signalers, right? And where I, you know, it's, as the rappers say, real recognize real, turtle recognize turtle. And when we have that vibe professionally and personally, I hold on to that and I keep track of that. And when I have an opportunity to whether, you know, hire someone directly or put someone forward to recommend them, or even just to catch up with them when I'm visiting a city, I think, you know, who are the turtles in the city that I want to see? And that is a direct result of being at a frequency and being at a level of kind of mutual, kind of professional soulmate. And again, it doesn't have to be, it can't be with everyone. So I don't force it. And I don't think less of someone if I don't vibe with them. It's okay. But I do seek out and amplify, because I feel like when you're with a good turtle, with a person who really recognizes and appreciates, you amplify abilities. You know, 1 + 1 = 20. Yeah. And that's what I look to do. And that's why I've been able to accomplish what I have, is by teaming up with people. It is not by my own acts alone. You know, it's absolutely through the amazing talents of others. And when those click in, it's an incredible feeling.
It really is. And I could probably digress, and I won't. Don't worry, listeners. I won't do a Kelly Alexa digression for an hour. I feel like I could be Oprah and take this in so many directions, but it really is true. When you connect with the right people that have that same mindset, I think about when we decided we were going to launch Fitfluential Radio, you know, my ability, because I developed relationships, solid, good, intentional relationships with great people that I had made sure I have helped along the way. It was great to be able to go, oh my God, you know, I can have Leslie Bradshaw on the show, and I can have Gary on the show, and Arianna Huffington and other folks like that, that have expressed interest and are going to share their stories. It's like, it's an honor. But if you approach looking for the right people and also go into it that it's a two-way street. You're helping each other. They're helping you. It's a beautiful thing, and it keeps flourishing. So I agree with you. Now, my next question is going to be something about, you know, how you got started. But here's the thing. I'd love for you to tell people, just very generally, how you, when you made that decision to start living healthier, and you wanted to take care of your body and you wanted to feel better. I'm not necessarily asking you, like, tell everybody what to do, because people that are listening, that's not what the show is about. It's not to go, you know, here's what Leslie eats in a day, go out and eat it, you know, because everybody needs to find their own unique fit. Our bodies are made up differently. Our history is made up differently. But I'm just curious for you, you were at that point a beginner. You know, you hadn't been working out. You hadn't been eating right. Was it overwhelming for you to start? And did you have help? What were your baby steps?
So the best thing that I had was muscle memory, just in a figurative and literal sense, because I grew up as a three-sport athlete. And I was a varsity volleyball and softball player, recruited to play softball in college. So I knew what it was going to take because I had done it most of my life, except for the 6 years when I started my own company. So the first thing I said, you know, when I came back after a long summer break, what's the first thing coach had you do? Daily doubles. So that's what I did. I said, I'm going to do daily doubles. And in the morning I did cardio. And then the afternoon I did more strategic stuff like weightlifting. And that was exactly how we ran stuff when we were coming back after the summer for volleyball. And in the morning, I would hop on the bike or, you know, pre-core elliptical thing and just eased into it, right? Straight running. Nobody really loves running. There's some definite like runner people, but like most people, it's just like not that fun. So I just wanted to create the habit, and I wasn't going to punish myself or be obsessed with the number on the scale. I was just going to start creating the habit. And the other thing I did is I got a trainer, and that's something that certainly was a financial commitment, but I respond well to a coach. And I know that if a coach tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. Tells me to do 20, I'm going to do 20. Tells me to do five more, I'll have to do five more. She tells me, you know, we're going to go down and back 10 times and then says, oh, we're going to do it twice more. You're going to do that. Whereas by yourself, you're just never going to push yourself at that level. Mm-hmm. So those were kind of, you know, my initial steps. And so I was doing that for 6 months between my 30th birthday and the day that I resigned from my agency. And during that 6 month period, I also started offloading a lot of my responsibilities to other colleagues as I prepared to leave. And there's a, you know, kind of a thing that when you own your own company, it's just like a different relationship you have with it versus, you know, you can give like a 2 week notice at most companies. But in this case, I wanted to be responsible. So I really just decided, like, I'm going to make my client me. Like, I'm going to service me. I'm going to go get protein shakes. I'm going to go to Trader Joe's. I'm going to shop for, you know, whole foods and healthy stuff. And I'm really just going to like turn this into a job. And it in that 6 month period, I lost 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I started really just falling back in love with exercise the way that I like doing it. Like I said, I'm never going to be a long distance runner. I love weightlifting. And I knew that if I could get my weight training back up and going, then it's something I would look forward to. So once I left my job and I moved to Miami, that was for a new job. And it was also to move to a place that just allowed me to just have a relaxing recovery. Like in many ways, it's what, you know, kind of professional rehab is what I jokingly called it. Hmm. And that professional rehab, again, was about committing to both a diet and an exercise program. I'm using just a rough number because I'm just making it up, but 98% of my weight loss success in my life has been diet and 2% has been exercise. Like, it's very much skewed towards diet. For some people it's different. But I know for women it's a lot more about, because a lot of people will say, oh, I need to lose 10 pounds. I need to be working out more. And I'm like, no, you just need to, it's calories in, calories out. However you want to monitor that. It's just that simple of an equation. Yet it's that hard. And so getting down to Miami, I signed up for a clean food delivery service to really keep me disciplined. I'm not a cook. I say I can't be good at everything. I'm bad at directions, singing, and cooking. So those are things, don't ask me to do them. And I said, you know, I took all this time and energy over the last 6 years to make all this money. And look what, you know, I'm going to reinvest some of that back into myself. And I can tell you, I've never regretted a dollar I've spent on making myself healthier. And because that makes me able to then give more to my world, my life, and we can get into that. But so I invested in the clean food, and I also invested an incredible trainer and coach, really is what I call him, Dempsey Arias. And while we became friends, we never talked during our sessions. Trainers who talk during the session, to me, is just like the biggest waste of money. If I wanted to chit chat, I'd call a girlfriend. I'm here to work. I should not be able to talk. I should be so out of breath, or, you know, kind of excruciatingly, you know, pushing out the last two reps in a set. And that's what Dempsey did. You know, held me really accountable, knew what my goals were, mixed up our workouts, and did a lot of high intensity interval training combined with really heavy weightlifting and boxing.
Hmm. I love what you said. And I mean, there were so many things that you just said there, but when you said, I made myself my client, I think that's a mantra that needs to be a t-shirt or the name of your next book, because that is, and it's funny, in a different, I didn't use that phrase, but I'm going to use it and I'm going to give you the credit for it, obviously.
Oh, please.
Seriously. It's amazing, because one of the things that I'm working on, and I have different issues, is, you know, the whole self-love and trying to get myself to go from self-loathing and punishing myself for the health and hormonal imbalance issues that I have, and starting to view myself the way, you know, imagine that I'm step outside of your body, Kelly Alexa, and talk to Kelly Alexa the way you would if you were coaching Leslie Bradshaw or if you were coaching Kelly Gregorakis. You wouldn't talk to Leslie the way you talk to yourself in the mirror. You wouldn't talk to, you know, I'm trying to get my mom to eat healthy or whatever, and I don't yell at her and berate her the way I have in my own mind. And so I love what you said there, because it should be that you are treating yourself. You're like, you're an awesome human being. Your body is capable of amazing things, just like you've already set the stage in business, right? You're killing it in business. So now you're saying to yourself, I deserve to take this vessel, this body I've been given, and treat it with kindness. And when I do that, not only am I going to be more functional, but, you know, I'm improving my longevity. I'm going to improve when I have downtimes. It's going to make me feel better in my relationships. It just bleeds out through that. So I think that's almost one of the best things I've heard out of some of the podcast interviews I've done. And I honestly, like, we have to do a whole separate post on that on Fitfluential, because I think that's got to be a mantra for everybody. Tell yourself you're going to treat yourself like your own client, and treat yourself with respect, treat yourself with love, treat yourself with, you know, yeah, you need to push yourself, but treat yourself like you would treat an outsider or somebody that you really care about. So that's remarkable. And I love how you also mentioned that you don't regret anything as far as what you invested in your health. A lot of people use, the investment for a trainer or the investment for a gym or the investment for meals. Not that you have to have that, people that are listening. Don't think that you can't get healthier or fit without those. But some people use that as what they need. I use Factor 75. In fact, we're going to have the founder on the show. They have these great paleo organic meals. And for me, the three things you listed that you are not great at, Leslie, I'm the same way. And cooking and meal prep is not my game. I suck at it. So for me to be able to have paleo, organic, non-GMO, non-dairy foods like delivered to me, and I just pop them in the oven for 10 minutes, that helps me. And it's worth not having to trudge to the grocery store or order sushi and pay $60 every day. Ain't nobody got time for that. So I commend you on that. I guess I want to be respectful of your time. So I'm going to kind of head and wrap up with some of my last questions for you. You've obviously, and you guys were going to share not only on Fitfluential Radio where you can follow Leslie, and she'll tell you at the end of the show. But when you take a peek at her Instagram, like I love what you put up on Instagram, Leslie, and obviously we can follow you on Twitter and all these other places, but I can just see in you that you love life. You, and that might sound hokey to some people listening, but like your happiness and your joy and your excitement for, you know, the stuff that you do in your fitness world, if you will, you know, your fitness practices. I've seen you do like CrossFit stuff. You've also done, I think I've seen you do some like runs. You're going, you're traveling a lot. You love your business. It just looks like you're thriving right now. And I know you've said that obviously you have no regrets about investing and changing your life, but what would you say to people that are just starting down this road that think, oh my God, I'm too old. You know, like I'm 35. There's no way. You know, what do you say to people as far as, look at me, it's worth it. It's not an overnight thing. But, you know, I know people come to you and see your transformation. What do you say to that?
Well, the first thing I say is it's never too late to change everything. Mm-hmm. But the second thing I say is it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of work. I have a girlfriend trying to tell me, like most people, I think men and women, want to lose 10 pounds. I just want to lose 10 pounds. How do I lose 10 pounds? And I just said, well, first of all, you got to not fixate on the number. And second of all, you've got to just be in it to win it for the long run. Because I did a series of diets in my kind of teens and 20s in college. I did Weight Watchers. I did Volumetrics, 17-day diet, South Beach, Atkins, you name it. I did a Volumetrics. And after each diet, I would get done with it and say, oh, I won. Like I did it. I lost the weight. Look at me. I'm so disciplined. And then over time, I'd pack the weight back on. And what I ultimately realized, something you kind of said at the beginning, which is I had to find something that worked for me for the long run. And I like to eat food. So I need to be exercising quite a bit to be able to eat. And I also really like weightlifting. And so finding things that allow me to kind of combine those two things, I think CrossFit's done a great job of encouraging women to be strong. I've been a very lonely weightlifter as a woman post high school and college, when I used to have a lot of girlfriends who were athletes who did that kind of stuff. And you go to a gym now and you know, all the women are in the cardio farm and all the men are in the bro jungle, I call it. And you have like venture over to the bro jungle and you're like, excuse me, sorry, coming through. And you know, and finding the community that I have, it's actually called a CrossFit East River or Beast River. We're in the East River near kind of East Village in New York City. I have this incredible community of women. You know, it's co-owned by a woman, Melissa. I've got, you know, all my lifting gals, and we look forward to lifting heavy together. And that, you know, that community and that commitment is something that is going to last a lifetime versus a crash diet or something where I'm punishing myself and saying, I got to lose 10 pounds. I got to lose 10 pounds. And so, you know, long-term, think definitely long-term. I'd also say set the intention in the morning. And if you can, wear a sports bra to work. It's one of my favorite things to do. I feel like I'm a superhero. Like I'm about to peel down and I'm about to roll out as superwoman. And you don't even know about that because it's up on the low right now. And it already is, putting on a sports bra on is one of the most kind of annoying kind of things because it's so kind of sucks you in and all of that. So if you can just start your day and already have it on, it tells your body, your mind, you're like, hey, we got our sports bra on today. We came to play is what we did there. And so I wear my sports bra just about every day to work. And I've even have found some dresses that have cool cuts that actually are amenable to sports bras. Or I get some of those really cool sports bras from like Lululemon that have cool backs that can kind of be part of your fashion statement, but little do they know, oh, what? I'm already halfway dressed, ready to go to the gym. Hey. So I feel like that's kind of been a really cool intention that I've set when it comes to working it into my lifestyle. And, you know, thinking long-term, you know, I gained 10 pounds every year when I had my own agency. So I put on 60 pounds. I was 195 pounds when I finally put the brakes on and started doing my own daily doubles. And I brought it down as low as 135 pounds. And now I'm closer probably to about 150. And it was hard. You know, it was even hard going from 135 to 150. And a lot of it's been muscle from weightlifting. And it's been a mental game where I'm like, oh, I put on a jacket and I feel like the Credible Hulk because my arms and my back are strong. But also I'm strong. And, you know, if this is all about, you know, pure vanity play, then, you know, I need to cut what I'm eating and cut what I'm lifting. And then that sounds like a miserable life to live. Yeah. So I think there's also, you know, an acceptance of, you know, just a kind of the long game of exercise.
Leslie, everything you just said there, I'm so glad. And I didn't know you were going to say that, but I mean, that's like amazing because it makes me realize it's something else that we really need to ensure that we focus on Fitfluential Radio. And that's, you know, everybody always says, oh, I need to lose 10 pounds. I always hear people say 5 pounds or 10 pounds. And yet I don't think most people really get on the scale and know what they weigh. And there's this thing, I've always referenced it when I'm talking about it, like in the media, we're constantly hearing on the female side of things, you know, Angelina Jolie, she's 98 pounds, or, you know, Jennifer Aniston is a size, you know, Hollywood being a size zero. When did that become cool? And I have fallen I don't want to say victim, but I have fallen into that trap of going, I need to be this size. And I got over it when I started really sharing my hormonal balance or focusing on hormonal balance journey and just putting it out there and going, guess what? I'm 5'5" people. And right now I'm 150 and I'm not going to freak out and go, oh, you know, I should be 113. I thought in my mind for years, I should be 113 pounds. That's ridiculously skinny for me. And yet I beat myself up for years back when you and I first met. I mean, Leslie, I was like, I'm not 113. So I'm not successful. I should be a size 4. Guess what? This girl with this, you know, back trunk and this front, she's never going to be a size 4. And so the more that we have strong women like you, like me, like others that are willing to say, you know, I'm not defined by meeting somebody else's weight or size. And hey, just like you, Leslie, sometimes I have to buy a different size cardigan because I've got amazing biceps and delts. And I'm no longer looking at that like, oh yeah, I hope people don't look at me like I'm too big. Be proud of your body. Treat your body like the client, like you said before. So clearly I'm getting like all fired up here, but that was awesome. And the women that are listening to this, the women and the girls that are listening to the show, please stop beating yourself up. Stop thinking that you have to be a size 0. Stop thinking that it's all about being skinny. And be proud of the body that you were given. So Leslie,
is the new skinny. Like it is absolutely, just as one last note there is being strong not only positions you to take on life as it comes at you, but it also requires calories. And calories give you the ability to think and process and to be at your best. And the only way we're ever going to reach parity when it comes to wages, when it comes to the C-suite, when it comes to just jobs, is by showing up and being strong and being well-fed. Because it's going to take everything out of you to have a great career and a great life. And you absolutely need to show up well-fueled and stop trying to take up less space. That's not going to get you ahead.
God, that's amazing. What a perfect way. I can't wait for the show to go live because, and Leslie, I might have to talk you into coming back on the show because you're such a great inspiration to me, to so many. And I think after folks listen to this show, they're going to be ridiculously inspired and want to hear more. So congratulations. You've inspired me. You're definitely the definition of Fitfluential. I'm so glad you were on the show. Let's wrap up and just tell folks that are listening. Of course, this will be on fitfluentialradio.com, but where can they follow you? What's your best social media handles?
Leslie Bradshaw. Just one word. That's where I am on all platforms. And I'm most active on Twitter and Instagram. I'm sharing a lot about fitness through those two channels. And I also write at Medium. And there's a few articles there that have documented my weight journey, some of my professional insights over the years. And yeah, Leslie Bradshaw. Just Google it and it'll pull up all sorts of fun platforms that I've created.
Definitely give her a shout out. Tell her that you heard about her on the show. Tell her to get back on the show. Thank you, Leslie, for being on the show. You're awesome. This was a great interview. Can't wait to have you back.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kelly. Really love everything that you're about. Really supportive of it.
Thank you. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds great, girl.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast.
We want this to be your podcast, so please head on over to iTunes, write a review, give us your feedback, tell us what you want to see, give us your ideas, and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace.
Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of hosts Kevin Cottrell and Kelly Alexa and are the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and the content and opinions expressed on the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.